Hallelujah. Father, I pray this morning, open our hearts to see you, to know you. Open the ear of our spirit so that we can capture the sound and the frequency of heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you that we declare this morning that it is a new day, a new dawn, a new dawn has come upon us. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that this is the beginning of great and better things. We thank you right now that the best have yet to come. We thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray this and we declare this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week I spoke about forsake the old and embrace the new. So I want to continue on that thought. But basically what we talked about is that, you know, oftentimes as Christians, we just stay behind and we never, or we don't keep going forward in the Lord. We just got to keep moving, all right? I use how in the scripture, how God took them out of Egypt, but after Egypt, that was not the end. From when they came out of Egypt, they were to go and possess the land. And God said, you dwell long enough around this mountain. Now go and to the lands of the Amorites, which I've basically given to you. And so this morning, you know, there are many things that we are keeping in our lives. Things that we used to, things that don't work. Old things that keeps us bound, keeps us stuck. All right, maybe if you don't know Jesus this morning, maybe in your life you've been doing things with the way we understand, or you understand that this is how it is. And so you try this and you try so many things, but it doesn't work. It's time to let go of these things and embrace all that the Lord and the living God has for us. But as long as we keep remaining in the old, I just want to put that the third slide there. It brings limitations. I just quickly summarize the story that we read. Remember how we talked about there were 12 spies that went to the land and spy out the land that God has given them. They went there and God said, this is a land I'm giving you. They all say, well, it's great land. Everything is good. Everything is wonderful. It's beautiful. But yet 10 said, we're going to die. Let's make ourselves a leader. Let's go back to Egypt. At least it's better there. Have you taken us out of Egypt so that we would die at the hands of the Amorites? They were basically saying that. So they were trying to go back. But two of them said, no, not only is the land great, but this is the land that God has given us. We can do it. We can conquer. We can move forward. So, but as a result, but out of all of that, we see that as long as we keep remaining in the old, because those 10 spies that saw the land, even though they thought that was good, but their eyes cannot see beyond. So they have limitations. They are giants. We can't do it, right? Number two, short-sighted. We can't see the bigger plan of God. God says, this is your land, this is your future, and this is your destiny. And they're like, no, let's go back to Egypt and let's make ourselves a leader. Number three, it keeps us from moving forward. So rather than being where God wants us to be, now they were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years until all of that generation that did not believe God would not enter into the promised land, but their children would. That was the consequence. So we don't want to be going around in the wilderness, is that right? Four, it stops us from entering our promised land. Five, it keeps us in a cycle. When they could have reached the promised land in a short amount of time, for 40 years, they just keep walking round and round, round and round. Like a hamster, running around but staying, going nowhere. Does that make sense? They were literally like a hamster. They were going, moving, and walking all about, but they were still stuck in the same wilderness. They had not yet gone where God wanted them to go. As long as we stay in the old, it can turn us traditional and make us religious. So we see the tabernacle of Moses, how there were rituals and rituals. They were stuck, but that was not the end. Though, yes, God initiated it, but God had bigger plans. We look at the Pharisees. When Jesus came, they could not comprehend. They could not let go of what they understand in their minds, of what it should be. And when Jesus came in the picture, they could not enter in. Does that make sense? But they knew the scriptures. They could quote the scriptures. They knew everything. They kept every law. I mean not every law, but they tried to use everything and bound people by all sorts kinds of rules and regulation that would bring people to bondage. They just could not move forward. They were stuck in a religion. They were stuck into man-made tradition. And so this is, in a nutshell, what I sort of talked about last week, though I'm giving you the sludge this time. But in our walk with the Lord, we can come into a place where we are having limitations, short-sighted. We just can't see. We can't move forward. We can't enter into what God has for us. It keeps us in a cycle, and it makes us religious. Why is that? Because we are staying in the old. Everybody say with me, let go. There are many things that sometimes we got to just let go. Just let it go. As long as we hold on to it. As long as we keep holding on to it, it will just eat you up. You just got to let all things go and embrace the new. So I choose to enter into what God has, rather than trying to reason with my mind and this and that happen and all of that. But I'm going to let it go. Everybody say, let it go. Okay, I know, I'm looking at the children are laughing. I know why. Don't start singing, it's not singing time yet. Let me, as I continue this morning, we're talking about forsaking the old and embracing the new. Now, the introduction of this message really should be, or if you can put back the back first slide, is you will find on that first slide you see two pictures, right? See two wonderful phones, or maybe one wonderful phone and one not very interesting. Now, let's forget the one that's on the right for a moment. Look at the one on the left. Do you want this phone? I give it to you for free. But okay, my point is this, but when that phone was new back in the, I don't know, early 2000 or late 90s or something, whatever, if you had a phone like this, you had something to brag about. This is like equivalent of having like the Samsung S8 right now. Does that make sense? But now, 10 or 15 years, I don't know, later, you look at this phone and you're like, I used to love that phone. It used to be so useful. I mean, I could call, I could send text, I could do so many things. You thought, or we thought we could do so many things until we had a smartphone. As technology improves and updates, we've got to keep moving. I mean, is it true? I mean, I don't know. I mean, God bless you if you still have this phone. It's okay. Jesus still loves you. You're not going to go to hell. But really, if you want to go and you are going to be in this world, you want to send a WhatsApp message, which everyone understands. You can't send WhatsApp messages on that phone. You know, now communication is like, you know, I want to talk to someone in Malaysia. WhatsApp, you can even call. It's just so easy. But as long as we keep using that old phone, you know, we are very limited. And so in the same way as we progress in our Christian walk, there are certain things. It's not that this phone is bad. It's not that this phone is wrong. It's not that it was not well designed. But that was what it was good for that moment in time. But as the developers and as those who make phones, they improve it and they innovate it, you know, you just got to keep, you know, it's just that it serves its time for a moment. But for now, there are better things that you can do. All right. Okay, I'm not promoting phones. Don't go and buy a new phone right now. This is not my point. Okay. So if you say, what did you learn on Sunday morning? Well, you have to buy a new phone and keep up with the trend of technology. But if we can understand this concept, then we will also understand that the church has to upgrade and has to update. And so, and I, and I, and I, and as we, as we've seen over, I mean, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the history of the church, but as you can see, the history of the church has been restored step after step. Different moves of God that we've seen in the body of Christ, just restoring truth back into the church. Is that right? Can I talk a little bit about history a little bit, just very quickly? So we had the Catholic Church when in the Dark Ages, but someone had to come out and say, hey, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. It's what the scripture tells us. So we have this Martin Luther that brought that reformation that we talked about, or that we talk about. But after that, he was still practicing water baptism, infant water baptism. So the Baptists came in and say, no, you have to be baptized by immersion. So now the restoration of water baptism has been brought back into the church. Well, you can say, I'm going to stay behind and just, I don't need water. I can sprinkle, I can do this, and I can do that. No, but the truth was restored. Church has to keep moving. Does that make sense? Then we have all the different moves and all the Pentecostal move and the holiness movement and the charismatic movement and all of that being to be restored. We lift our hands in worship. We dance before the Lord. We speak in the Spirit. We prophesy and all these things. But all these things were restored over time to the church. Does that make sense? And we are blessed to be in a Bible-believing church where we believe and embrace all of these moves. Does that make sense? But God is continually moving. He has not stopped. Because He is coming back for a church that says in Ephesians is going to be spotless, blameless, perfect, without wrinkles, and blameless. And so it means that the church must keep refining herself, adorn herself, and get herself ready. Does that make sense so far? So we can't remain like that old phone. Hopefully when Jesus is looking at us, He's like, wow. Samsung S8 just came out a few weeks ago. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I want to make some statements this morning as to what we are called to enter in. Now, when you ask yourself this question, just before I quickly move on, sometimes we ask, what do we mean by leaving behind the old and embracing the new? We're probably sitting down right now and thinking, well, how do I do that? It sounds great, good message, but, well, I hope you think it's a good message, but you're probably thinking, well, what is it that I have to leave behind? What are some of those things? Hopefully, in the course of this, we will discover some of these things, hopefully. Let's read 1 Corinthians. If you've got your Bible, why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, and this is what it says. Can hear the turning, so you're not there yet. Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Then all Israel came together to David at Hebron, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Sorry, what did I say? Oh, my bad. Sorry. I was actually watching who was paying attention. So, Chiang, you win a point. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Again, I got you. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1. Then all Israel came together to David at Hebron, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in time past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord your God said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel, and be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the words of the Lord by Samuel. I want to make some statements and then get into it. Number one, the first one that I want to talk about this morning is we've got to enter into the new. There's this thing that is God is just causing us to enter is this. Number one, there's a father-son relationship in the house. Number two, it's a united body that's on the ground. Number three, a generation that is crossing over to take over with a clear vision and mission. Number four, it's a new breed without greed. Catchy, isn't it? It's not mine. Let me just verbalize this again, and I just want to talk about this morning. Number one, father-son, there's a father-son relationship in the house that we have to tap into. If we want to come and stay in the new, this relationship is so important and so essential. Number two, there's a united body that's on the ground. It's not a united body at speech, but on the ground. Number three, a generation that is crossing over to take over with a clear vision and a clear mission. Let the spirit of wisdom and understanding be upon us this morning so that we can have clear vision and a clear mission. Number four, the new that we're seeing that are emerging is not of age, is nothing to do with age, but it's a new breed without greed. And we've got to update ourselves to these things, because if we don't have this in our lives, we're going to be stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. Because in the past, or maybe because we've grown in the church and so many things have happened in the body of Christ, so these have confounded us and molded us and shaped the church to think that this is how it's got to be. But there's a better way. There's a better way. There's God's way. Number one, father-son relationship in the house. The father of the house, I mean, yes, there's God the Father. We always talk God, there's God the Father. But there's a God, there's a man that God sets in the house that we call the father of the house, or the better word is the spiritual father. Do you know what I'm talking about? Spiritual father and the spiritual mother. And the relationship must be like this, like what we read in First Chronicles 11. They came to David. What did they say? Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. What does that mean? It just means we're of the same kind. We've got the same DNA. What's in your heart is in my heart. What's in your mind is in my mind. What is your vision is my vision. What is your mission is my mission. Ruth said this to the mother-in-law, to her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16. And this is the kind of relationship that we got to find in this local church. What did Ruth say? She said this, "Entreat me not to leave you," talking to her mother-in-law, "or to turn back from falling after you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." What a relationship. It means whatever is in you is in me, and we're going to move together. What is in your heart is in my heart. The doctrine, our doctrine is the same. Our speech is the same. I mean, we're not trying to say we're copying one another, but it means the DNA, the thing that is in us, is the same substance. When Adam saw his wife and says, "Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh," what he was saying is, because woman came out of the rib, she is part of me. We are of the same substance. We are of the same kind. That's why God said, or that's why, you know, Adam was what? He was in the garden. All right, he was alone, right? And then God said, but then he said, there's no suitable help meet, because there was no one that is suitable that of the same kind. But until the woman came out of the rib, then he said, bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh. So also in Ephesians, Paul picks up and says the church in Christ is going to be like this. Bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Same substance. What kind of DNA we're carrying? I know we're carrying the DNA of God the Father, but practically in this local church, do we carry the same DNA of our spiritual parents? Is their vision our vision? You see, when you look at the scriptures in 1 Chronicles, they came together. They came to David, make him and appoint him king. They come together. They're saying, hey, we're the same kind. What's in you is in me. What you want to do, what you want to accomplish, that's what we want to do. Because we know that you're appointed by God. For every Paul, there must be a Timothy. For Elijah, there must be an Elisha. I want to read a scripture in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. It says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. There's going to be a restoration of such a relationship. I mean, I believe that not only there's going to be as far as the biological fathers and sons will be restored, but I also believe that in the spirit, the church is entering into a place where there's such a relationship in the spirit with the father, with the spiritual father and the sons of in this local church, in this local house. Do you believe that this morning? There's going to be such a strong connection. There's got to be the hearts of the father must be turned to the hearts of the children, and the hearts of the children must be turned to the heart of the father. I hope you're getting this, because if we don't get this, we will be doing our own thing, and we will always struggle our way through. We may be here, we may be coming here, we may be sitting down, but we're not in it. We're here, but not here. We also here, but not here. Okay, that was not intentional, but... When such a relationship is offered to us, we as members or we as parts of the body of Christ, we are to help our spiritual leader or the father of the house, or we say the set man of the house, to find his place. Because when he finds his place, we also find our place. Because when he finds his place, you will find that this breakthrough will also take place. Do you know, I don't think I've got the scripture up there, but do you know the account where Moses, they were fighting, but then his hands were getting tired. Do you know this? Do you remember the story? So he had to go to the mountain and raise his hands up to, you know, raise his hand high. But as long as his hands were lifted high, they would win the battle. That's what God told them, right? Right? But then his hand grew weary. Weary. Okay. And then what happens is we have Hur and Aaron to lift his hand, right? And when he was tired, they just lifted up his hand and they had the victory. In this father-son relationship with the house, that's what sons must do. We have to do everything to push so that we help the set man find his place. Not fighting, not arguing, not this and not that, but help him find his place. We are the ones behind pushing everything so that he can find his place. Because if he can find his place, God is using him, whatever it is, but God is through this channel, God is just pouring out his blessings and breakthroughs and allowing the right connections to take place. Does that make sense? So father-son relationship is like this. It's very important for us. So I hope that this morning, maybe we had different conception of what do you mean spiritual father? He's my spiritual father, so what? What does that mean? This is what it means. Or at least bits and pieces anyway. Does that make sense? So when the set man finds his place, we also find our place, victory, and breakthrough after breakthrough. Same vision, same mission, same DNA. Your God is my God, your people my people. Number two, it's a united body on the ground. If we want to be in the new, we're going to have to be united, a united body that's on the ground. Now, we've talked about unity over and over again, right? This theme has been a very strong theme in this church, or at least one of the themes anyway. And we've talked a lot about being one in the Spirit, being one in God, being one church. But at some point in time, if we want to stay in the new, we want to forsake the old and enter into the new, the unity is not just by what we say, is not just in speech, but it's on the ground. It means it involves people that are on the ground and doing things. You know, I used to work in McDonald's, and it was one of the busiest McDonald's in Western Australia. And so you can imagine on the Friday night, and it's Saturday morning breakfast. It's crazy. You're sweating yourself out, and you'd have no. Okay, no, I shouldn't say that. But okay, anyway, but there's a lot of sweat involved. So I don't know where it goes, but hopefully it doesn't go somewhere where it shouldn't go. But in all honesty, if you work there and you want to, and they have goals set, if you want to keep that, there's no way you go there and you're having a nice day and while you'll be sweating yourself out. So if you need to lose weight, you can do that. You can try that. But the thing is, I used to work there, and because everyone, there's so many incentives, they put so many incentives for you to do great. Because they're always competing other stores and who's got the fastest service, who's got all of this, and who's got the most amount of orders in an hour and most amount of sales. They've got all these things going on. And so all those people who work there, they get so excited. They don't earn anything from McDonald's. They just work there as an employee, but they get more excited than the managers. Figure that out. I don't know. So there was this particular person, very young, and he was so like, oh, we gotta. He's acting like a manager now. I'm a manager. He's telling me this is not good. And I'm like, okay. And so, this is what I observe. There are so many orders coming through, and he is stressing, panicking. Oh, I think this person is not doing the right thing. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. I don't like this and this. The amount of talking that he did, if he would work and not talk, we would do a lot better. There's a problem. If you talk about the problem, you're not solving anything. And there are people, when they talk about the problem, they don't state the problem and let's fix it. They ramble about the problem over and over again. So it's not talk, but we've got to also walk it as well. We've got to do something. We can talk at the end of the day, but the amount of talk that we do, unless there are people on the ground that actually making it happen, is it really unity? We always pray, we always speak, we always share, we always say, oh God, this is one body, every part, every member has a part to play. But in actuality, in reality, let's see this on the ground. Let's see people on the ground. I see you on the ground. I see me on the ground. I see everybody here on the ground. There's a mentality that when we come to church, and I've had to learn this too very much, especially with my experience going to Malaysia, I had to have my head a bit more on my shoulders because I realized pastor's not there all the time. You know, if something is happening and you know pastor is there, you tend to just sort of sit back a little bit and say, oh, they are the leaders, they are the main leaders. So if I can just kind of step out and just let them step in, and if it's not so good, then they will fix it. That's a mentality, you know, like maybe for worship leaders. Oh, I'm not worship leading this Sunday, so, you know, maybe I don't have to prepare as much. So we don't prepare so much, but when we're worship leading, We're praying on our knees, Lord, what song? Lord, this and that. And we're preparing, and oh God, let your presence saturate this place. Oh Lord, please help me. And so there's all of that. But what I'm trying to say is that we have a mentality where at times we come to church and we only consume because we know that there are people here that are giving. So all we do is just eat, and then we go. And then we come back and eat, and then we go. And we come back and we eat, and we go. And it's just the same cycle. So in reality, are we really moving forward? Well, I hope we are, but do you understand what I'm saying? There's got to be a shift in mentality where it's not just, I mean, all of us are eating. You got to eat, right? But it's eating and giving. You eat, but you also give your share. That's a powerful church. That's a powerful church. It's not a church where everything is just coming here and I just consume and I'm just a consumer and that's all I am. No. But a powerful church is I come to consume because I recognize that I need the Word of God to change my own personal lives. We all need to change so many things in our lives. But we receive that. But is it just for ourselves? You've got to see the bigger picture. Because God has graced a lot of people here with so many gifts and talents. But until we utilize this and really invest and sow it into the local house, you don't see much happening. We will reap what we sow. So as long as we keep consuming, what are we sowing? And what are we going to reap? So we need people on the ground. Number three, a generation that is crossing over to take over with a clear vision and a clear mission. It's a generation that's crossing over. Now, if you remember the story in the Old Testament, who actually crossed over to the other side? Now we say this was the new generation, this is the Joshua generation, this is the new generation. New generation doesn't mean by age. Though it was true that most of them that crossed over were younger in age because they were the next generation in actual age. Does that make sense? But it did not forbid others who were of the older generation to enter into the possessed land. Do we know who they are? Joshua and Caleb. It had nothing to do with age. But how do we stay in the new is if we keep believing God and keep moving with what he's doing. As long as we are stuck in the old because of how we have built certain things in our lives and we've molded and shaped, oh, this is how church is like, this is how it structures, and this is it forever and ever, amen. We're going to struggle in this at this place. What generation are you? What generation are we? We got to go back to the original purpose. We got to go back to the original plan. As long as people were complaining, opposing God's promises, and they had unbelief, they just could not enter in. So this morning, I want to say this. If we want to be a generation that's in the new and not of the old, we've got to take those three things out of our lives. Or we've got to ask God to come and help us and change. Unbelief. Complaining is probably one of the things that we really got to deal with. Again, we always see what's not right. But we can say it. But if it's not right, then do something about it. Contribute something. Be part of it. Like this person at my work, as long as you keep complaining, we're going nowhere. The 10 spies that came back, as long as they kept complaining and in unbelief, they ain't going anywhere. Hallelujah. See, you're not saying amen, but the phone is saying amen, so it's okay. God said, you don't worship me, I will raise up rock, they will cry out and they will worship. So even the phone is responding to my message. This generation, what is this generation trying to achieve? We went to see a prophet, and one of the starting line that he said, he's like, what are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to achieve as a church? What are we trying to achieve as Christians? Is it just to build a mega church and have a great church, great music, great lighting, have a church building and extend? And is it all the issue? Now, this is an aspect of it, but this is not the finality. Does that make sense? But what are we trying to do? Just the same thing over and over again? And I'm really hoping, though I'm not talking about this so much this morning, but that we can help, we can hopefully start to see that there's more that we have yet to enter in, that we have to see. Because without vision, the people perish. Where are we going? What are we trying to achieve? We have to know where we have to know where this church is going. I hope you know where this church is going. Yeah? Some of you are thinking, where is this church? Well, we're hoping to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Okay. God bless you. Well, we are going to heaven, but you've got to see beyond. We've got to see in the Spirit. What is God doing now that He wants us to do? That's what we've got to see. What's the DNA? What is the thing, the heartbeat of this church to accomplish? What is the mission and the mandate that God has given this church? We've got to go back to the original. Not go by according to what it has become because of circumstances. Amen? Or because of what has happened, what it's become. No. We've got to keep moving with God. The last one I want to quickly mention here, and as I conclude with this last point, is it's a new breed without greed. It's a new breed without greed. It means that in the new, God is raising up people without greed. It's a breed without greed. What do I mean? I mean, in the past we've seen how God raises a man of God. I'm not saying they're greedy, but I'm just saying this is how it looked. They became a star. They became like a wow, cool. How they go hallelujah, and I want to do hallelujah. I don't know if whether you're talking. Are we living in the same world? There are great preachers that we have admired in the past, and we have idolized in a way, pastors and preachers and apostles and prophets. I don't know if you can understand what I'm talking about here. Are you with me? Yeah. Does that make sense? I mean, am I talking any sense, or am I just like completely off? I don't know. But we see that God had raised up many great men of God in the past. We look at them. But in this season, or in this section of the last days, it's not superstar. It's the saints. It's the saints. Amen? We are being equipped so that we can be ready for every work of ministry. We are not trying to build our own empire or trying to build our own ministry. It's a new breed without greed. You know what can happen in a church? You know, and I have to be very careful with this myself. I know I have to watch this. What we have is gifts. Do you agree? People have gifts, right? But what we can do is we function in the gift, but we make that become our ministry, mine. Don't touch. This is my grace, all right? And what happens when that happens is this. You cause division inside. You're building walls inside the church. That's why it's so important. I mean, I see a lot of people here, whether you're young or old, but God is equipping us to be leaders. Is that true? Some of you, most are already leaders. If you're a parent, you are a leader because you're leading your children. Is that right? But God is raising up into a leader. But what we cannot have is that, have this mentality, oh, this is my ministry. Because we have gifts. We have gifts. God graces. People might say, wow, you teach so well. How come when you teach, I understand? But then, pastor teach, I don't understand so much. What do you do when, if something like this was said to you, what would you do? Ah, well, praise the Lord. That's my gift. Praise the Lord. Then I guess I've surpassed pastor. Maybe you should come a little bit more to my teachings or something like that. You could say that. Can you? You could. I mean, okay, maybe we don't say it like that, but, you know. And so what happens is we build this and we build this and we're taking. And what we're creating is we're creating walls. Because we don't realize that whatever gift that God has given us, it was not meant for myself. It wasn't meant for the own individual, but it was for the body to be edified. So if I have a gift and a grace, and God is raising me in a place to do and to function, whatever I do and whatever comes out must always bring everybody together in order to the spiritual parent. To the God's authority, it always must be in line. It's a breed without greed. When we say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, as for me and my house, you might be thinking, well, number one, as for me and my house, which means my family, my mother, my sister, brothers, father. Do you know what I'm talking about? Who knows these scriptures? Put your hand up really quickly. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay? Now, a lot of times we apply this scripture and we say, well, yeah, my biological family. Now, is that wrong? No, absolutely not. But we got to go one step further. As for me and my house, this house, we will serve the Lord. What we can do is if we were to say, as for me and my house, that means in my context, it will be Jog and I and my mom, we will serve the Lord. So we come together and we say, yeah, we start our own ministry. This is what we're good at. We start. What's that going to happen? What's going to make out of that? It's not nothing to do with that. It's as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's a breed without greed. And I hope that we can see that this morning so that we don't build our own empire. We don't build our own ministry. We're part of the same. If there's anything that we're doing that's taking us away from what this church is doing and what this church is proclaiming and saying, you got to question and you got to ask ourselves, what am I doing? We are all leaders in our different ways. There are people that we influence. There are certain people that I can reach that you do not see, but I'm reaching and I'm speaking to them because I'm communicating with them. And there are people that you are reaching and speaking to, maybe talking about the Lord and counseling and maybe helping them out in their issues. You know, things like that. People could be overseas, whatever, right? We could be doing that. But what we are doing is this edifying the body. Ask ourselves this. Amen? They are true shepherds. God is raising true shepherds that will truly care for their own. The true shepherds who will teach and impart the word of God in truth, in spirit and in truth. And it's going to be, because as we have heard Pastor declare, Darling Downs is a birthing place of the fivefold ministry. So that's why all of us that are seated here, you got to see this. God is raising all of us here. Now, don't say I'm old, don't say I'm this, because if you move with God and believe and don't complain, but have this in your heart, age doesn't matter. You can't say, oh, I'm only an auntie la, I cook only one. Okay la, this is my ministry already. Okay, so everybody say, let's verbalize this as we conclude. Forsake the old. Embrace the new. Forsake the old. Embrace the new. We're going to have this in our hearts this morning. Father-son relationship in the house. A united body that's not just by speech, but on the ground. It's a generation that is crossing over with a clear vision and a clear mission. And it's a new breed without breed. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that we're forsaking all the old mentalities, all the old way of doing things. Let go of many things, to let go of the past, to let go of past experiences in the name of Jesus, so that we can move forward in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that there's such a relationship in the house, and I thank you that there will be a wholesome relationship in this local body in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, release the spirit of unity upon this church in Jesus' name, with a clear vision and a clear mission in Jesus' name, with a spirit of wisdom and understanding to come upon us this morning, so that when we see, we will see, when we hear, we'll hear, and our heartbeat will respond to the heartbeat of God in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, we glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.